It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, and I appreciate the church and all. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would please, Ephesians chapter 4. I would ask you to be much in prayer. Brother Peter will be carrying the material into Ghana week after next. He'll be flying into Ghana, and we'll start it there. It'll be the sixth foreign country we have our material in now, and he had to carry it in luggage, try to get something in there. They said they had 400 students waiting, already enrolled, already got their name on the list. They're waiting for the material. And so he'll go in and train them, take the program into them and train those people. And there's a need of either a laptop computer or just a tower computer. So you pray about that. Ask the Lord to direct there. And then pray for us. This Sunday we'll be gone again into Kentucky, into two churches, and we come back, and then we'll be gone for about 2 weeks. In fact, we'll be in and out quite a bit in the next couple of months. So you pray for us as we're trying to raise funds, of course, for the postage, and it continues to grow, and we praise God for what the Lord is doing in that and all that the Lord has helped us to do. I've mentioned this in the past, but Brother Keaton gave us a program that's just super. It's really speeded things up, and it's helping us tremendously to be able to handle more students with less people, and or at least rise at the present time. We continue to grow quite a bit, but we praise God for what the Lord is doing there. Miss Hannah Gregg, of course, works for us, those of you who don't know, and then Miss Katie Hobbs works for us. We appreciate these young ladies working and the ministry of the Lord and reaching students, amen, and reaching souls. I read the letter of the day, boy, and they was talking about it, said, boy, I really appreciate you caring about us. You people at Rock of Ages care about our soul. That's what the letter said. It said, you care about our soul. One man wrote, said, I am glad you people came to our prison. Amen. My life has changed as a result of that. Amen? And so we praise the Lord for what God's doing in the hearts and lives of people around the world. Military people are enrolling. I'm getting more and more church people enrolling in the sojourners part. And so we praise God for what the Lord's doing. And I would have a special request. Please pray for Miss Pat. We need her back at the office. She's the one that handles our money. Amen, Brother Rob? We, amen. And we got to have our money. Amen. So we praise the Lord for Miss Pat. I'm glad she's doing better. You keep praying for her. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at verse 11 and 12. And she gave some apostles and some prophets and some and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I want to talk to you tonight just for a few moments on the gifts to the church. Now, not the gifts of each individual, but the gifts to the church. I kind of wrestled and kept struggling with this, but this has kept coming. This afternoon I thought, well, maybe I need to preach on five great prayers or something, but the Lord just kept putting this in my heart and burning in my heart to preach to us tonight. In chapter 3 and in verse 21, you notice it, of this book, it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And chapter 3 is talking about the church. Chapter 4 is talking about the church, but you don't see the name church mentioned. It talks about the body. It's not mentioned there. Dr. Tom Hayes has a good outline for chapter 4, and I just want to give this to you. Verses 1 through 6 is the church and its government. And verses 7 through 16 is the church and its gifts. Verses 17 through 32 is the church and its guidelines. It's all about the church. But I want to talk to you about that verse 11, the gifts to the church. It tells of people that have a calling, have a gift of God, and it tells of them how they're given to the church. And then in verse 12, it tells you why they're given to the church. For the perfecting of the saints. God wants you to be mature. He wants you to be complete. And God gives you these gifts, these people with these gifts, these called people, in verse 11, for that you and I might be mature, complete. But not only that, but that for the work of the ministry. So that the work can grow. Now remember, Pastor Jason preached about individual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. But God in turn gives the church these gifted people called of God to place over us for the purpose of making us mature, but to help us in the work of the ministry, that the work of God might grow and go for the glory of God. And then it's also for the edifying of the body of Christ. I don't know about the rest of you, but I need encouraged. Amen. All you have to do is go outside this church and walk for an hour or two, and you will get discouraged. And go to the mall. Just walk down the mall and look at the souls and look at the people and look how they're doing and what's going on. Look at the news. It's very depressing, isn't it? And God has given the church these people for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build us up, to encourage us. By the way, that's why you should come to church all the time. That's why you should attend church. You say, but I just don't. Yeah, I understand. Isn't it amazing? When we get cold and different on God, we quit doing the three things we should always do, and that's pray, read your Bible, and attend church. But for some reason, we just start dropping those off. Now, if you'll notice in verse 11, I need you to stay with me because some of you may get nervous on me on this. If you'll notice in verse 11, it gives you these gifts. He gave some, that means not all of them, apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastor teachers. Now, I've heard some tremendous Bible scholars come across this verse. I even heard Dr. Hayes come across this verse, and this is what really got me thinking about this verse. And about everyone I've heard, and I have said this, I have actually said this when I come across this verse. Apostles and prophets was for another age. And then I'd pick up those others, the evangelists and the pastors and teachers. But you know, every time I said that, Brother Keaton, I felt like I was doing something wrong to Scripture. I thought, you know, What? This don't feel right. And now, if this verse was over in the book of Acts, I'd say, amen, yes, sir. That's a transition period, and so apostles and prophets, amen. What's it saying to us? And I wrestled with this thing. I said, now, Lord, this is here for a purpose. Why should I divide this verse up and say, oh, those two apostles and prophets need to go back over here and this back over here? Now, y'all hold on. I'm still a Baptist, amen. I'm not... But listen, and I began to pray about it, and I thought, Lord, what is it about? Why did you still put that he gave to the church apostles and prophets? And here it is in this verse in the book of Ephesians, talking about the church. And I began to think about it. Most of the time we look at those apostles. Now, a true apostle is one who walked with the Lord, saw his miracles, amen, and saw the risen Savior, right? This is yes. Got to teach Baptists this is where I go. This is yes and this is no. Right? That's an apostle. That's a true apostle. A prophet, beloved, was one who got direct revelation from God and penned down the Word of God. Right? Right. Now, we do not have those type of people today. We don't. But I thought, but why'd you put this here, Lord? And I begin to think. And we miss this. What did the apostles do? Remember, Pastor Jason, you and I was talking about that. What was the number one? And we missed this. What were they doing? They were church planters. Think about it. They went out and they established churches. And then the prophets, what did they do? Most of the time they're saying, hey, you're sinning. Quit that sinning. You're going against God. Quit that. This is what's going to happen to you. Judgment's going to come. If you don't quit bowing down to Baal, and if you don't quit doing this ungodly stuff, judgment's coming to you. Wasn't that what they said? That was their basic message. All right, now how does that apply to us? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Amen. Because here's what I believe God's telling us in these verses of these type of people that's in our midst. Number one, beloved, the apostle, the church planner. And here's what it's saying. Look what this community needs. A local church. Are you listening? We need a local church. We need a steeple.
A steeple?
Yeah. We need a place of restoration, a place of restoring, bringing fallen man back from being fallen to being risen in the Spirit of the Lord and getting saved by the grace of God. Look what this community needs. Sometimes we miss that. And that's why I say church planters. Now, I know people criticize Rock of Ages and say we're not local church and all that, but I firmly believe in church planting, amen? And the local church. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here, amen? But listen. And so it said, look what we need. We need some churches planted. Look, church, this is what you need. You need a steeple. He said, what do you mean a steeple? Did you know why they started putting steeples on a church? Anybody know why they put steeples on a church? Years ago, people couldn't read. They couldn't read, so they'd put these steeples up on top of the church so that when they walked by, they knew what it was. It was a church. They knew it was a special place. They called it sanctuary. They even had a law that if you could run into the sanctuary and you were safe in many towns, especially in Europe. And you could run in there and be safe. And so here's what God is saying. I'm giving you these special people of church planting to establish because every community needs a Bible preaching church. Amen? Every community needs a church that is praying, that is proclaiming the gospel, and that is praising God. Amen? Every community needs that. Every community needs that. You can go out in the Midwest, you can go in the middle part of Canada, and you can go into towns where there is no church. Nothing. Zippo. Zero. Nothing. And every community is what he's saying. That we might do what? Might point them to Christ. That we might tell them about the Lord. Every church needs that. Every community needs that. That's holding forth the word of truth. We need church planters. I know that sounds strange coming from a prison ministry, but we need church planters. Amen. But yet we know that across the board that they claim over 4,000 churches this year will shut down. That's all churches. Will cease to exist. 85% will either plateau or decline. Now you think about that. Brother Josh, you went out in the Midwest, drove a long ways before you seen a fundamental church, didn't you? And God is saying, I've given you these special people, and it takes a special person to be a church planter. It does. I just came back from Cadillac, Michigan. Whoo, did they need Faith Baptist in Cadillac. Amen. And I believe it was three other fundamental independent works had tried to start there and failed. But Cadillac, Michigan needs a Bible preaching, praying, and praising church. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's why we supported him when it passed, to establish that. And so God is saying, I've given you these special people. And it takes a special person to do that. To go into a community, to start knocking on doors and trusting God and believing the Lord to do it and working on a secular job if he has to, but to get that church established for the glory of God. What did the Apostle Paul do on his missionary journeys? He established churches as he's going. And so God says, here's these special people that have given the church, apostles, church planters, if you please. Amen? Amen. And he wants us to go forth, holding forth the word of truth. There must be and I'm using the word steeple, but a place that is pointing people to the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. Amen. And pointing people to the word of God that is truth. Amen. And we need that. Look what this community needs. It needs a steeple. Now look at the next one, prophets. Here it is saying, look what sin is doing to your community. Now, unfortunately, I call this the scorching, amen, or the revivalist. Now, most people today, we have more evangelists than we do revivalists. you may disagree with on this, but beloved, we need revivalists. An evangelist, and I'll get to him in a few minutes, but a revivalist comes in and he begins to call sin, sin, and jog our memories of who we are and what we're into and what we're doing and why we're not having revival. You don't see very many of those old fellas anymore. Or at least whilst I haven't been around him. He's a prophet of today is a person who is a forth teller. Not a foreteller, a forth teller. Ralph Sexton Sr. was a dear man that I knew, and boy, he was such an unusual fella. He could look out here in this world and see things and come back and bring you Scripture. I've seen him carry two or three Bibles into the pulpit and open them up, beloved, and reveal to us exactly what was going on. Unusual man. So unusual. But he could look out there, and boy, he'd warn you. He said, this is what's going to happen, and this is why I know it is. Look what the Bible says. But the church today don't want that kind of preaching. Pastor Jason, I told him, I said, boy, that was a tremendous message he preached about revival. And I sit there and I marvel, why don't we respond to that? Most of us don't want to hear about our sins. But God give these type of people to us, these preachers, that says, hey, you better quit that, what you're doing there in that sin. And they would name it. Boy, when I started out preaching, preachers were preaching against liquor. Son, they'd blast your hide if you even sniffed the stuff, amen, or drove too close to it, amen. And they'd warn people, this is what alcohol is going to do to you. This is what immorality is going to do for you. You're going to end up with AIDS. You're going to have some social disease. And they would cry loud and they'd spare not. And with a broken heart, they would see their people dying and going to hell and Christians being robbed of joy. And we don't want to hear that anymore. We don't want to hear about too much time in front of the TV. We don't want to hear about too much time in recreation, not enough time with the Lord. But God said, these are people I have given to you that you might be what? Complete. Do the work of God. Amen. Be edified and strengthened in. And we need these kind of people today. And He said, these are people with special callings upon their heart and their lives to do this very thing. They would warn you about your dress. How many times has pastor got up and talked about being separated and mentioned a few things? You said, there he goes meddling. Huh? Warn you about your dress? It's pitiful. I had to run and get something to eat right fast and went into Taco Bell. And this little girl was in front of me. And I thought, good night, man. I had to look at the floor the whole time. Pitiful. Amen. I remember those old mountain preachers, they used to say, God said, let your light shine, not your running lights. Amen. 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 But see, people, they don't want to hear that. People today, but God said, these are special people with I put in a minute for the church to help you. I don't know how the rest of you feel, but every now and then I like for somebody to just stomp my toes right good. It wakes me up, makes me do an examination of my heart, my life, and see if I'm slipping a little bit. And guess what? Most time I am. I am. I know y'all's halos are shining, your wings are fluffy, but I'm slipping sometimes, amen? And old preachers would preach and call sin like it was. He said, some of you have been gossiping, and you've been talking about one another, and you've been mealy-mouthing, and boy, they'd just lay it on you. I remember when old Ed Blue come to a revival meeting one time up there in the Tri-City area, and boy, he got rough. I mean, he said, you heifers, and I said, boy, that done it when he said that, amen, amen. A bunch of them got mad. He could tell it. I could tell it. I thought we was going to have a fight, amen. But he was right what he said. He said, he could have said it a little bit more dignified. I guess he could have. I wouldn't argue with you on that. But hey, he was right what he said. He had their number, and they knew he had his number, and the Holy Ghost was digging them out. But God said, look, and these prophets, look. You see, our young people a lot of times, I think they think that pastor gets together with Brother Jason, Brother Scott, and Brother Buck, and they decide, oh, look, these young people will have fun doing this. Let's tell them they can't do it. But that's not what they're doing. Sometimes we think pastor's just trying to walk back and forth in front of his study and say, let's see, I wonder what these people are enjoying. I need to preach against it, amen. I really need to preach against it, because if they're enjoying it, that's just not good. No. The Holy Spirit's showing him from the Word of God. Look what's happening in your flock. This is yes. God, I forgot that already. This is yes and this is no, amen. Listen to me. Amen. And so here's these people, and a warning. Vance Havner had this tremendous saying. I just want to tell you what he said. But he said the Bible just has two messages, really. One of them is knowing the terror of the Lord, which he called the Holocaust of condemnation. And the other one is, he said, once you begin to see what sin is doing and the route you're going, then you have the other message, the love of Christ constraineth me. And that's the harbor of compassion. How true that is. And so God said, here's these people with these gifts. Here they are. Amen. Let me just ask you a question. How thirsty are you for the Lord? I'm just, you know, there's been so many times, Pastor, I thought, ooh, we're so close to breaking through. You've sensed it too. Just so close. But I've learned down through the years, Baptist folks are notorious to come so far and stop. And rather than say, yes, Lord, He is right, and stepping up to the next plateau and growing in the Lord, we'd rather say, nah, I think I'll just stay right here. And you know what happens? You back up and you come forward and you hit it again. You back up and you come forward and you hit it again. And the old prophet keeps warning you, hey, this is not good. You better quit this stuff. And so this is a gift to the church. Thirdly of all, look at this one. Now we come down to the easy one. You breathe at ease now, amen? The evangelist. And here's what this is saying. Look what salvation can do for you. Amen? Because the evangelist is pointing people to the Savior. When evangelist comes in, and we need evangelists that come in and stir us up and get us burdened for souls, that we might weep and cry out to God for souls to be saved. Amen? That ought to be our prayer every time the preacher gets up to preach. Lord, stir our hearts for souls. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's lost, may they come to know Christ as their personal Savior. One of the reasons what most of us men that's with the Rock of Ages, we like to preach in prison, because it don't take too long to convince an inmate he's a sinner. He knows it. I've talked to them and they didn't know any Bible at all, and I'd try to get some avenue to them and try to talk to them about it, and finally in desperation I said, well, do you know you're a sinner? He said, well, I know that. They didn't know any Bible, but he knew he was a sinner. And so the evangelist comes in and he's preaching the virgin birth, amen, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the walk and the work and the witness of the Savior, and he's warning you to flee from the wrath of God and to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. And he tries to fire up the saints of God to get burned about soul winning. Amen? And that's what an evangelist should do. And we need to understand that we need a balance of that in our church. Amen. You can't have the old prophet in here all the time. You can't do it. I mean, you can only shear sheep so many times. Amen. And you need a balance of that. And God said, here's these gifts that I'm giving to the church. Some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists. And then look at the third thing. And some pastors and teachers. Now, this gift, of course, is one that's combined. I realize that. I'm going to separate it for the purpose of my message, amen. But a pastor and teacher. This is another gift that God has given to the church. And so here's what it says, is look what the sheep need. You need an under-shepherd. You need an under-shepherd. You need the ruler. I know you don't like that word ruler, but you need the ruler. You need the shepherd. That's going to lead the flock, amen? And going to lead them forward for the glory of God. Going to teach them the Word of God. Going to warn them of what sin will do for them. Going to warn them about what being lax on God is going to do. Going to tell us the truth of God's Word. And tell it with compassion, amen? And with brokenness and tears. I believe there's one thing missing in most of our lives as Christians is our tears, amen? but just not broken over this matter. I catch myself many times just getting so dry. Just dry. And so he said, look, and so the pastor is here to lead us in prayer, praying and seeking the face of God. I personally believe that one of the reasons God's blessing this place is because of prayer. It's prayer. There's some people praying. There's some people seeking the face of God. You quit doing that, we'll go colder than crowd, amen. That's pretty cold for you city folk, amen. And so we need that. And so he's going to lead us in prayer. He's going to lead us in proclaiming the gospel around this community. He's going to lead us, beloved, in praise. Take us to higher heights and deeper depths in Jesus Christ. And we're to follow Him. We're to follow Him. You've heard the story, I'm sure, of the little boy, and he's watching this man, and he's driving these sheep across through the over the hill. And he asked his daddy, he said, "Daddy, what's that? What is that?" He said, "Oh, that's a man from a slaughterhouse. He's driving the sheep to slaughter them." And the next day, he sees a man, and he's out in front of the sheep, and the sheep is following him on the top of the hill. And he said, "Daddy, there goes the slaughterhouse man again." He said, "No, son, notice, he's in front. That's the shepherd. He's caring for the sheep." In the world of difference. Amen. I met a lot of pastors. I thought to myself, buddy, you need to be a revivalist. You don't need to be a pastor. You met someone like that, Brother Keaton? Amen. And I met him. I've almost wanted to tell him. I said, "Look, why don't you go into being an evangelist or a revivalist or something? Because you're slaughtering your people left and right." Amen. And so all these gifts are working together for the glory of God to these things that is mentioned in verse 12. I'm separating this one about teachers, although it is together with the pastor, but I want to say this, that what God is telling us is, look what Scripture is telling you. This is the teacher. Look what Scripture is telling you. Here's the source. It's our only source. It's the Word of God. When this church gets away from "Thus saith the Lord," we're in trouble. Amen? When any church gets away from "Thus saith the Lord," we're in trouble. It's always "Thus saith the Lord." Look here what the Scripture is teaching us. Look what it's trying to show us. And so here's these gifts, and there's four of them. If you combine the teacher and pastor together, and that's fine, that's here. While we're in this world, beloved, we need these people. We need someone going out and establishing churches. I sometimes wonder if in America, if we don't think, well, America's already been churched. Well, you go to Cadillac, Michigan, and ask Brother Iola that. He said he visited every church in that community before he started, and he said he didn't hear one gospel message. Not one. Not one. They drove me through that community and everything, about 10,000, maybe 12,000 people. It's sad, preacher, sad. And I thought, thank God, boy, there's a steeple Amen. In Cadillac, Michigan. Amen. Amen? That's good. Amen? And we need people to do that. Because there's places where there is no gospel being preached at all. And we need people to rise up and tell us and warn us of what sin is doing to us. Amen. We don't like that sometimes, but we need that from time to time. You got to have it. From time to time, pastor has to stand up and do that. It's called shearing the sheep. Because if a sheep don't get sheared pretty soon, they'll get so loaded down, they'll fall down and won't be able to get up. Amen? Amen. And so here he's telling us about the teachers, that this is the source, using God's Word to establish us and to build us up and to encourage us for the glory of God. These are gifts that's given. He gave some. Now what's it for? For the perfecting of the saints? For the work of the ministry? For the edifying of the body of Christ? Look at verse 13. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now watch this. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sly of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You notice he keeps talking about that in love, in love. Why is this? Why did God give these people? That this church might be strong and established in the things of God, that we might come forth with truth and love. I've heard some preachers preach about people dying and going to hell, and they act to me like they're as glad they was. That's not good. That'll never get it done. We need some brokenness over the matter. And God said, I've given you these people for the church that this might happen to us. There's a reason behind it and a purpose behind it. That's why Pastor Jason was preaching about the gifts, to get us to understand why each one of us have a different gift and not look down our nose or criticize this person because they don't fit into your little mold or your little gift. But when we work together, it's like my hand. When it works together, I can pick up a glass. But boy, if I don't have that thumb, I've got a problem. Amen? And here is these people. And oh, how we have rejected and neglected these things. We have. All across America, I see it. We've neglected. I see pastors that just been, just treated wrong. You see a lot of different things as you travel, and that's why you hear us come back as missionaries and say, boy, praise God for Shenandoah. I'm glad to be here. Woohoo! Hallelujah. I'm glad to be here. Amen. Because, boy, and as a missionary, you go in and, you know, you're just going in and presenting your work, and brand, you can't wade into it, you know, and try to, that's not our business to begin with. But oh, how, and we've abused and misused these people. That's why if you do find a man that's really blasting sin, if you'll notice carefully, he's got a hatred spirit about him. The ones I have heard about, if I've heard five of them, four of them's got a hatred spirit about them. Why? Because they're mad, because nobody's responding, they're not listening, and they're fussing at him. Why don't you preach love? Why don't you just preach the Bible? And on they go. Well, it's none of your business how I dress and where I go and what I do. And so they get bitter about it. Next thing you know, they're just honor as could be, and they've lost their effectiveness. Amen? And so we need to understand that and not be they've disobeyed the message that's proclaimed. And any of the message of any of these people that come into our midst, we say, oh, there goes a preacher now. Look at him. He's getting long-winded. He's worse than Charles Long. I'll tell you, look at him. It's already 15 after 12, and he's still a ratting and raving. Amen. You ought to hear what my wife says about that. I remember one time you got me and said, boy, yeah, this on Sunday night, you said, I just preached internally too long. My wife said, too long for who? She said, I didn't think it was too long when I was in pain. I thought it was wonderful. She said, what's wrong with people? Amen. Amen. I'm just saying, preach. Amen. Listen, and when we are obeying the message, guess who's going to be in our midst? Hallelujah. The sweet Spirit of God. And I guarantee you, when He comes on the scene, we can sit here for 3 hours and think it's just been 30 minutes. Boy, and you get in the middle of a meeting where the Spirit of the Lord's moving, hey, man, it just seems like, whoo, it's over. What? We just been here 3 hours? What? You're over? You're going to quit? Amen? And so we need to understand that. This is why the churches are dying in our midst, all around us, and they're shutting down, as I mentioned to you. And many of them are declining and going the wrong way. We need to pray and seek the face of God and believe the Lord to anoint our pastor. Amen. Give him fresh oil every time he stands. Amen? And the Sunday school teachers, sometimes we forget about them, but they need the Spirit of the Lord upon them to have fresh oil while they're teaching and the Word of God to our children. I guarantee you, a little child will remember the tears of a teacher far more than what they say a lot of times. Oh, yeah. They'll remember that, oh, this person cares about me. Look at them. They're weeping over me. Amen.
And so we need to understand what God is trying to give these people to us for this very reason, that the church might go forward for the glory of God. I believe it ought to get so that when people drive down this highway, they're going to say, "Ooh, did you feel that? Boy, that was unusual. I wonder what's going on in this area." Amen. I believe it ought to get so that with the Spirit of the Lord in our midst so much that sinners either have to run this way or that way.
Good.
I do. And if we would, I'll put myself at the top of the list. If we would say, "Lord, thank you for our pastor, thank you for our teachers, thank you for the evangelist, thank you for that old man that gets up and just rips our hide left and right, amen, and tells us what sin is doing to our nation, amen, and that's what it's doing, amen." I thought of something today. Let me chase a rabbit. Of course, all of you have been teasing Katrina about Hurricane Katrina. And she has tore up the place, amen? But this thought came to my mind today while I was at that Wally World. And I gave them a check for our groceries. My daughter's name's on her check. And the woman said, "Oh, Katrina. Same thing, hurricane name." And immediately the Spirit of the Lord said, "Tell her what Katrina means." And I said it before I even thought, Brother Scott. It means purity. And then I walked out and I'm thinking, "Lord, was you purifying New Orleans?" That's just a thought. That's just a rabbit. Call it anything you want. But that's a thought that came to my mind. Was you purifying New Orleans? What? Amen. But see, people don't want to hear that today. They don't want to hear about the judgment of Almighty God. They don't want to hear the fact that America told Israel they had to give that land back. And every time we have ruled against Israel, we've had a national catastrophe. Every time, check it out. See, but we don't want to hear them come. Amen. But boy, if we get the Spirit of the Lord in our midst, woohoo. And let God move and be edified and be mature. Let God mature us in His Word and His Spirit. I don't know about the rest of you, but I haven't arrived yet. Every now and then I need somebody to knock the bark off of me. Amen. Amen. And I got news for you. You need it too if you're a child of God. And God says, "I've given you some things here. I've given you some people with special callings of God." And I don't know how I need to emphasize this thing of church planting. It's needed. It's needed. All across our land. All across our land, it's needed. Now, I'm not trying to call none of you preachers away from here, but I'm telling you, it's needed. He said, "Why don't you go?" God ain't called me to go. If He calls me, I'm gone tomorrow. Amen. But He hadn't called me to go. And there's such a need across our land that our people might be strong in the Lord and our churches established. Bradley County needs this steeple preacher. You know that. He needs this steeple. Don't you let it fool you. It needs this steeple. It needs to run buses. I don't care if gas goes to $10 a gallon. It needs the buses. Amen. And so we need to understand that. This is the needs of the hour. And God just burdened my heart about this. And as I said, I wanted to preach on the five great prayers in the Bible of Moses and of David and Samson, of Isaiah. But God said, no. I want the church to understand that I have given some gifts of men, gifted people, into the church that the saints of God might be mature. That you might be warned of what sin and self-centeredness and selfishness. Amen. We're living in a day and time that everybody seems like they want to tear down their barns and build bigger and do their own thing. while souls are dying and going to hell? You ought to read some of the letters we get sometimes. Katie, you have to open it. You know what I'm talking about. You read them and they say, well, thank you for caring, or didn't know anybody cared, and on you could go. And you ought to drive. When I went into Michigan, I was constantly scanning that radio, especially coming back. I drove for 12 hours in torrential rain, and I was trying to find some gospel music, and I had to get plumbed down into Lexington, Kentucky before I could find anything. And even then, I wasn't too sure what it was. I had to turn it off. Amen. They said it was a gospel station. I don't know about that. So I'm telling you, Shenandoah, I believe we stand at the door, the brink of something. I just believe we stand at the door, the brink of something. Does this need to be preached Sunday morning? No, the Spirit of the Lord said preach it to you folk. You know why? Because most of you folk will get a hold of it and you'll do something about it. And it don't take many. Remember what they told Jonathan told his armor bearer? He said, God can deliver by a few. Amen. And he did. He slew all of them Philistines. Amen. And so I'm just simply saying to you, let's keep our ears listening, our hearts open. Even when the preacher comes down, stomps on them toes real hard, just say, yes, Lord, I needed that. Help me to move to it by your power and your grace. Help me, Lord, to be more burdened for lost souls. I've been challenging people everywhere I go pray, why don't you get you a photo album? And in that photo album, you put five names for each day. Always the pastor is number one. And then the next four is a different person every day. And each day, put a picture of them in there, prayer card, missionary, whatever it is. You see what I mean? Like today, the pastor will be number one. Maybe today, Jason's going to be number two. Pastor Jason's going to be number two. Josh's going to be number three. Brother Scott's going to be number four. Brother Buck's going to be number five. Tomorrow, it's going to be Brother Mickey, number two. See what I'm saying? This Sunday school teacher, number three. This missionary here, number four. And just pray for five people every day, the pastor. And pray for them four people. And see what God the Holy Ghost will start doing. Amen. Especially in your own heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? And believe in God to do it for the glory of God. And praying for your pastor, Lord, put it on him. Amen? Put the Spirit of the Lord on him. Brother Allen was talking this afternoon. I'll hush with this. Brother Allen was talking this afternoon. Said he was in a prison meeting. And said this inmate sitting up front, the preacher got to preaching and said he jumped up and said, Lord, put the Spirit on him. And the old Rock of Ages preacher got to preaching hot and heavy on him, amen. Said the old fella stood up and said, woo, I believe he did it, amen. Amen. But that's what we need. That's what we need, folks. We need to understand that God has given us these things. Not to hurt us, but to help us. And when we understand that, then we will start going forth. Watch this, in truth, but above all, in love. Our hearts will get broken. I was telling you about Taco Bell. I stood there with my eyes down, trying to go through this line of this little old girl. And my heart got broken. I thought, my word. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. When you see what's going on in New Orleans, does that touch your heart?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, all God has to do is send about three or four cyclones or tornadoes through this area, and we'd be in the same boat. Amen.
Right.
Amen. And our hearts need to be broken over those souls and weeping and crying out to God. That the Lord would do a work. Now, I personally believe we're in the last day. I believe the coming of the Lord is at hand. And one of the things I'm basing it on is I've never seen such a battle we're having. And And it's not so much physical as it is a spiritual battle that we're having. I mean, it's raging in our minds, in our lives. I went in Monday morning, I had water that deep in my office all the way out in the hallway. And I had it set out, Lord, I'm going to do this, I'm going to try to do this, I'm going to try to get this. Man, old days. And I almost let the devil slip by me, boy. I can't do that. I've got to stay on track for what God wants. And that's just the way it is. And we need to understand that these people are special people that God has used to plant churches, to tell us what sin is doing in our lives, to get our hearts burdened for soul winning, beloved, to lead us into higher heights and deeper depths in Jesus Christ, and to see that this is our only source. This is it. This is the manual. This is it. Let's bow our heads. Father, I've obeyed you as best as I know how. Lord, you know my weakness and limitations, but God, I pray that something's been said that would stir someone here tonight. Maybe just to pray. Just to seek your face. And maybe, Lord, when the pastors get up to preach this Sunday morning, Sunday night, that the folks remember, these are special people called of God, given in my life, that I might be mature, that I might do the work, that I might encourage and edify and help other people, and that I might do it in love and in truth. Holy Spirit, do the work in each life that only you can do. Well, thank you for what you get accomplished in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Let's stand up.